I glanced across at Little Man, his face lit in eager excitement. I knew that he could not see the soiled covers or the marred pages from where he sat. And even though his penchant for cleanliness was often annoying, I did not like to think of his disappointment when he saw the books as they really were. But there was nothing that I could do about it. So I opened my book to its center and began browsing through the spotted pages. Girls with blonde braids and boys with blue eyes stared up at me. I found a story about a boy and his dog lost in a cave and began reading while Miss Crocker's voice droned on monotonously. Suddenly, I grew conscious of a break in that monotonous tone and I looked up. Miss Crocker was sitting at Miss Davis's desk with the first grade book stacked before her, staring fiercely down at Little Man, who was pushing a book back upon her desk. "What did you say, Clayton Chester Logan?" she asked. The room became gravely silent. Everyone knew that Little Man was in big trouble, for no one, but no one, ever called Little Man Clayton Chester unless she or he meant serious business. Little Man knew this too. His lips parted slightly as he took his hands from the book. He quivered, but he did not take his eyes from Miss Crocker.
I said may have another book, please, ma'am, he squeaked. That one's dirty.
Dirty? Miss Crocker echoed, appalled by such temerity. She stood up, gazing down upon Little Man like a bony giant, but Little Man raised his head and continued to look into her eyes.
Dirty? And just who do you think you are, Clayton Chester? Here the county is giving us these wonderful books during these hard times, and you're going to stand there and tell me that the book's too dirty? Now you take that book, or get nothing at all.
Little Man lowered his eyes and said nothing as he stared at the book. For several moments he stood there, his face barely visible above the desk. Then he turned and looked at the few remaining books, and seeming to realize that they were as badly soiled as the one Miss Crocker had given him, he looked across the room at me. I nodded, and Little Man, glancing up again at Miss Crocker, slid the book from the edge of the desk, and with his back straight and his head up, returned to his seat. Miss Crocker sat down again.
Some people around here seem to be giving themselves airs. I'll tolerate no more of that. She scowled. Sharon Lake, come get your book.
I watched Little Man as he scooted into his seat beside two other little boys. He sat for a while with a stony face looking out the window. Then, evidently accepting the fact that the book in front of him was the best that he could expect, he turned and opened it. But as he stared at the book's inside cover, his face clouded, changing from sulky acceptance to puzzlement. His brows furrowed. Then his eyes grew wide, and suddenly he sucked in his breath and sprang from his chair like a wounded animal, flinging the book onto the floor and stomping madly upon it. Miss Crocker rushed to Little Man and grabbed him up in powerful hands. She shook him vigorously, then set him on the floor again.
Now, just what's gotten into you, Clayton Chester?
But Little Man said nothing. He just stood, staring down at the open book, shivering with indignant anger.
Pick it up, she ordered.
No, defied Little Man.
No, I'll give you 10 seconds to pick up that book, boy, or I'm going to get my switch.
Little Man bit his lower lip, and I knew that he was not going to pick up the book. Rapidly, I turned to the inside cover of my own book, and saw immediately what had made Little Man so furious. Stamped on the inside cover was a chart which read, Property of the Board of Education, Spokane County, Mississippi, September 1922. Chronological issuance, 1. Date of issuance, September 1922. Condition of book, new. Race of student, white. Chronological issuance, 2. Date of issuance, September 1923. Condition of book, excellent. Race of student, white. 3. September 1924. Excellent, white. 4. September 1925. Very good, white. 5. September 1926. Good, white. 6. September 1927. Good, white. 7. September 1928. Average, white. 8. September 1929. Average, white. 9. September 1930. Average, white. 10. September 1931. Poor, white. 11. September 1932. Poor, white. 12. September 1933. Very poor, Negro. The blank lines continued down to line 20. And I knew that they had all been reserved for black students. A knot of anger swelled in my throat and held there. But as Miss Crocker directed little man to bend over the whipping chair, I put aside my anger and jumped up. "Miss Crocker, don't, please," I cried. Miss Crocker's dark eyes warned me not to say another word. "I know why he done it." "You want part of this switch, Cassie?"
"No," I said hastily. "I just want to tell you how come little man done what he done."
"Sit down," she ordered as I hurried toward her with the open book in my hand. Holding the book to her, I said, "See, Miss Crocker, see what it says? They give us these old books when they didn't want 'em no more." She regarded me impatiently, but did not look at the book. Now, how could he know what it says? He can't read.
"Yes'm, he can. He been reading since he was 4. He can't read all them big words, but he can read them columns. See what's in the last row? Please look, Miss Crocker."
This time Miss Crocker did look, but her face did not change. Then holding up her head, she gazed unblinkingly down at me.
"See what they call us?" I said, afraid she had not seen.
"That's what you are," she said coldly. "Now go sit down." I shook my head, realizing now that Miss Crocker did not even know what I was talking about. She had looked at the page and had understood nothing.
"I said sit down, Cassie."
I started slowly toward my desk, but as the hickory stick sliced the tense air, I turned back around.
"Miss Crocker," I said, "I don't want my book neither."
The switch landed hard upon little man's upturned bottom. Miss Crocker looked questioningly at me as I reached up to her desk and placed the book upon it. Then she swung the switch 5 more times, and discovering that little man had no intention of crying, ordered him up.
"All right, Cassie," she sighed, turning to me, "come on and get yours."